Oh, it offends me to the soul to hear a robustious, periwig-painted fellow tear a passion to tatters, to very rags, to split the ears of the groundlings, who for the most part are capable of nothing but inexplicable dumb shows and noise.
Well, Henny, you better hang on to your bear bodkin, because you're going to hate this. It's John Malden, your host of the Inexplicable Dumb Show, starting now.
Hi, and welcome to episode 541 of the Inexplicable Dumb Show. I'm John Malden, and this week I'm joined in studio by magician, illusionist, author, Jason Michaels. And we're going to discuss his new book, You Can Do the Impossible Too. So we're going to get that conversation just after you guessed it, these brief messages.
Would you like to be a pal of the Inexplicable Dumb Show? Well, why don't you head on over to www.inexplicabledumbshow.com and look for the Hosting Donations Accepted button. Press that and make a donation and help the Dumb Show cover its web hosting fees. Your donation is greatly appreciated. Thank you for your support.
Hey, Putz! Get off your fat tuchus and do something. I'm tired of yous laying around complaining about this and that. Forget about it. It's all you say. You bum.
Shut up already, Frank. Oh, God, Jesus, Mary, and Joseph. I'm sorry. He gets wound up around the first of the month. You know, when you're supposed to pay the rent.
Now, give Frank a big tip. Hear about auditions, booking gigs, and other theater work around the South. Next.
All right, IDSers, I am joined in studio 1103 by magician, illusionist, and author, Jason Michaels.
I get to add something to the title
now. You get another slash. You get another slash mark as I'm doing that visually for the audio podcast. So, all right, so what's the name of the book? And tell me the origins of it and why you wrote a book.
Yeah, sure. So the name of the book is called You Can Do the Impossible, comma, Too. Of course, the comma is actually a comma. It doesn't say comma.
No, I think it's just parentheses, comma.
Right. You Can Do the Impossible Too. And so what's interesting is I have obviously I'm a professional magician, mm-hmm. and about 7 or 8 years ago, I have a really close friend who is also a professional magician, but he's a speaker. Mm-hmm. He goes out and he speaks a lot to kids in schools because his story is one of overcoming a really difficult childhood and a difficult home. And as we became friends, he just started inviting me to come to his programs, and sometimes I would help him out, you know, setting some stuff up when he had multiple programs in a day, and just to make the whole thing easier. Mm-hmm. And so I just started seeing him do his program, and what he would do is he would do a show. He would do like a 30-minute fantastic magic show, and then he would talk for 20 to 30 minutes and tell his story and just you know, basically relate to the kids that he was talking to. And he just started getting on to me and saying, look, man, you have to start telling your story, because my story is being a kid growing up with Tourette's syndrome, which is an uncontrollable neurological disorder. And but yet, somehow, in some weird sort of a way, when I discovered theater, when I stepped onto a stage, the uncontrollable twitching and the vocalizations and stuff like that, it just kind of like a magic trick, it kind of like just vanished, it just mm-hmm. shut off. So I would step out on stage, and I would just be able to perform, but then walk off the stage and start twitching and ticking and stuff right. like that again. So my friend knew this about me, and he said, man, you've got to start doing these programs. I was like,
which I can, as from experience, I can testify, I've seen you do that. It's oh, yeah. simply amazing. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. So, and he started telling me, you have to start, you know, making this part of your shows. Mm-hmm. So he wanted me to do this, and I was like, absolutely not. There's no way that I'm going to start talking about this, because I never wanted people to look at me and say, oh, you're such a good magician, especially since you have this disability.
Right, yeah.
I just wanted to be...
You're the Tourette's magician.
Yeah, you're the Tourette's... Exactly. I just right. wanted to be a guy who had a good show, and, mm-hmm. you know. And so I didn't want people to feel sorry for me, but over years of seeing my friend, I saw how his story... story, his magic is great. It's fantastic. People love it. But then I saw how his story would touch people. And little by little, he just kind of kept hammering on me for years. I mean, he was just like incessant. And I finally said, okay, I little by little started introducing it. And it took me a long time. This is another process of even more years to get comfortable talking about it. And then I finally got to a point where I was actually comfortable making it a part of my show. And then I said, you know, and I started seeing, I started getting some of the same reactions that he got. People would come up to me and tell me how thankful they were that I was talking about this. And I'd meet other kids who were in my audience that had Tourette syndrome and stuff that really touches you and goes, oh my gosh, you know, you're like, oh, I can't believe that this happened to me. And that's when I started to go, you know, kind of approach the world of speaking so that I would be able to go out and still entertain, but really go out and talk to groups about this type of stuff.
Now, you've gotten involved with the TED Talks type stuff. Is that a similar vein or a different topic?
So I've done two different TEDx talks. The first one was about scams, which was completely unrelated.
Right, like the card sharky kind of thing.
Right. And then the second one was about my story, and which was, you know, this idea that, you know, this kid who wanted to be an entertainer, wanted to be an actor, and yet, as a high school student, all we really want is to kind of blend in with, you know, with all of our friends.
Here, be normal. Yeah. So, whatever
and
that
so,
is.
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so I did that as my second TED Talk, the one that I did in at UT Chattanooga. And between my friend, my friend is kind of the one that got me on that path. And then as I started speaking, I just knew that the next thing was to write a book for a couple of reasons. Number one, so that I would be a better speaker, because it's kind of like that self-examination, being willing to ask yourself difficult questions, diving deep in and remembering stuff that happened that you kind of don't really remember.
Sure, or don't want to bring up.
Or don't want to think about.
Right.
And then the other thing is I've just always heard that if you want to be regarded, you know, seriously as a speaker, you have to have a book.
Otherwise, so you're like, just a guy on a stage.
It's like, okay, I guess I've got to write this book. So, but it was a unique experience, and it was really good. It took a long time, but I'm really glad that I wrote it.
Now, let's talk about this process of, because every, you know, people can wake up and go, I want to write a book.
Yeah.
But unless you have that sort of drive to sit there and slave away at the typewriter, quote unquote.
Yeah.
What was the process for you? I mean, how did you, are you a chapter at a time kind of guy? Are you a draft and then rewrite? I mean, how did you find your writing style and technique?
Well, so I little by little started writing blog posts, and a lot of my blog posts starting years ago were just marketing techniques for me to spread the word about my entertainment services. And, you know, and I would write a blog article about, you know, what do you need to know when hiring an entertainer? You know, here are the top five things you should know. And so I'm a very conversational style of writer. I don't know technically what a good writer is, but I'm not technically a good writer. I am a writer who, I had a buddy of mine who read the first copy of the book, and he said, this sounds, you know, as I'm reading it, it sounds like you, you know? Right. And so I was like, okay, that's what I was going for. But in order to write the book, I guess at first I just kind of had to get comfortable writing, and that took me, it just took some time. But then I didn't even attempt to write the book until I had outlined what I wanted to say. And that was another process that took time, because I had been thinking about writing this book for a while, but I'm not a guy who's just going to start writing a book with no...
Right. Otherwise, you're just a rambling guy, right?
Yeah, exactly. Right. And so, really, it took me... one day, I was just kind of... I'm one of these guys who likes to... I'll have a document, and I'll just put ideas in that document. So, I just kind of had a document on my computer, a Word file, and I just kind of put ideas for my book from time to time when things hit me. And then, at some point, I started really looking at it, and I said, wait a second, I think I've got something here. I started putting it into an order. I got a couple more ideas, and then I looked at the outline one day, and I was like... This is the book. Mm-hmm. Now that you know what you can write about, basically in each chapter, and kind of where you're headed, now all you have to do. I'll be honest with you. I felt like the book was 50%, 60% done when I had the outline, because at that point, all I had to do was fill it in.
Right.
And now, granted, that took months of writing, but still, that was right. The hardest part for me.
Right.
So it's just kind of outlining what I wanted to say.
Well, cool. So how can we get said book?
Yeah, so the book comes out May 23rd, and...
okay, well, let's talk about that. I'm sorry to interrupt, but that's another part of the process. So now that you've outlined it, you've written the book, you got a file that says, my book.
Yeah, I have a couple of files. I've read this book more times than I care to admit.
My best version, my latest version, whatever. You have these files. What happens after that point?
So I had the rough draft, and then I went online, and I hired an editor. I went on, it used to be known as Elance, now it's called Upwork, and it's just where people freelance. And I found there were a ton of people that were editors, and I found a guy who used to edit for a publishing company, and now he does it freelance. And I hired him, and I sent him the first draft of the book, and he sent back his thoughts, which is a little bit painful because when the guy says to you, you wrote this, but I don't believe you, you're like, what are you talking about? You don't believe me. How do you not believe
me?
But then you're reading through and you go, okay, I see what he's saying. And so you do some rewriting, and then I sent it back to him, and he took care of all the grammar and past tense, present tense type stuff. And, punctuation, and then I made those changes based on his recommendations. And then, really, I'm at the point now where, you know, what the book is written. I hired a designer to design the cover and all that stuff. So, I mean, it's been a long process. It's been one of those things that you think you're done, and then you realize you're not even close to done. It's like, oh, I've just written this book and I've edited. And wait a second, I got to hire somebody to do this too.
Right.
So right now, I finally have everything finished. It's completely done. The only thing that I'm trying to do now is just spread the word so that when it releases, that people know about it. So that's, and I even, you know, what's interesting is I found online, I was doing some research trying to figure out the best ways to market your books, because obviously there are people out there, plenty of people have independently published stuff. There has to be a good techniques for getting the word out. And I found this website called Self Publishing School. And this guy, I almost wish I had found it before I started writing.
Right.
Because he outlines how to write a book from the very inception. I had already written the book, more or less, but then the guy had some really good suggestions on how to get it edited, how to hire designers, the things that you should do, you know, because there are techniques to use that are kind of sort of like best practices. Mm-hmm. But anyway, I'm in the process now where, you know, I'm just trying to make sure as many people know about this as possible. So, because I think because the book itself is kind of like a memoir. It talks about what it's like growing up with Tourette syndrome. And then moving into the world of becoming a professional magician. So it has some of the highlights of what I've done and how I did those things. And then towards the end of the book, I specifically point out some of the techniques that I used to accomplish these mm-hmm. things, some of the principles that I just kind of learned by doing. I'm just one of those people who just kind of like by blunt force, I'm just going to figure something out. And so the book itself is memoir, but it's also sort of self-help. So what I'm hoping will happen, is that it'll serve folks in the Tourette syndrome community, especially families who have kids with Tourette syndrome, and what they can do to support them. I'm hoping that maybe it'll open doors to go out and talk to people in the mental health community, because I think that I can, as somebody who deals, and I still have, it's not like it goes away. I still have, and it's still stuff that I work through, you know, daily, the Tourette's, that is. But I'm hoping that I can go out and just kind of be you know, a voice for folks that are having difficult times. But the other, you know, the other folks that I hope take note of it are people who just want, who feel like they're dealing with impossible challenges. That's why I called the book You Can Do the Impossible Too, because the idea is that this kid who's 16 years old with this uncontrollable movement disorder, how in the world would anybody ever come to the idea that he would, I think it's like an impossible idea that he would be good up on stage. And if you stopped and really think about it, nobody would say to that kid, hey, I've got an idea for you. Why don't you go stand up in front of a bunch of people?
Here's a script.
Yeah. So anyway.
Cool. So now we can talk a little bit about how we can get the book.
Yeah. So, yeah, the easiest way to get my book here. Oh, here's the cool part. Okay. So May 23rd is when it releases, and I'm offering it. It's an as an ebook is how it's going to release first. And I'm offering it totally for free for 2 days. If you go to my website, jasonmichaelsmagic.com, and click on the book, you can get the book for free for 2 days. At which point, after those 2 days, then it goes to regular price. And then about the following week, I'll release the actual physical book itself as well. But the easy, you know, you can, two ways. You can get it through my website, jasonmichaelsmagic.com, or you can get it on Amazon.
Okay.
So,
cool. Yeah. So, I mean, obviously I'm going to get a signed hard copy, right?
You got it.
All right. So,
Hand delivered. To the studio.
Well, awesome. That sounds exciting stuff. So say again, if people want to learn more about you, they can go.
Yep. If they want to learn about me, Jason Michaels, they can go to my website, jasonmichaelsmagic.com.
And I'm going
to
put you on the spot. If somebody wants to learn more about Tourette's, what's a good syndrome? What's a good reference?
I would check out the Tourette Syndrome Association. I think it's Tourette.org, and that's Tourette.
Okay. Well, I'll have a link to that stuff on the show notes page for this particular episode at www.inexplicabledumbshow.com. And before we let you go, is there going to be How to Do the Impossible 2-2?
Yeah, it's funny. On the last read-through, I have already started thinking about some of the things that I could take it further. So I have some ideas for another book, but that's probably a couple of years in the future. This was such a long process. I need some time off.
All right. Well, thanks for coming in, man.
Thank you.
If you love The Inexplicable Dumb Show as much as I do, don't be shy about it. Go ahead and wear your feelings on your sleeve, or at least your chest. Head on over to our Cafe Press store and wear your support for the IDS proudly. www.cafepress.com/dumbshow.
So that is it. I'd like to thank special guest this week, in studio special guest, Jason Michaels, illusionist, magician, author. Again, Jason's book is called You Can Do the Impossible 2. So go out there and show the IDS support by buying one of his books. Hey, do you want to be part of the Dumb Show? Then please do so by calling the voicemail line at 615-866-1282. Or put your thoughts in an email, podcast@inexplicabledumbshow.com. Or follow the show on Twitter, @inexplicableDS, @I, inexplicable, D, S. Find out the latest comings and goings and whatnot for the show via our Twitter feed. So next week, who knows what we're going to be talking about, but I'm sure it's going to be something good. So until next week, this is John Malden saying, hey, I'll see ya. Bye.
Are you a music lover? Then let Magnatune dazzle you with how different we are from the rest of the music industry. Interesting independent artists in diverse genres. Perfect quality wave files in addition to MP3s and many other formats. Instant album downloads or traditional CDs by mail with free shipping. All this and half of every sale goes directly to the artist. So visit us now at magnatune.com. That's MAGNATUNE. Magnitude. We are not evil.
Blueberry. This podcast is a member of the Blueberry Network. Blueberry. No ease. That's Blueberry, BLUBRRY.com. Blueberry.com.
Pop Alternative Media.